If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Hi, kids.
A few more minutes, we would have been the day shift.
Yeah, really.
That was interesting. And it, actually, the overtime was interesting because it, when we walked in here at 9-something, it looked like there was a shoe-in. The game was going to be over with. We were going to hit the ground probably about 10:15, 10:30. And then all of a sudden, they decided...
Au contraire.
Tie it up and go into double overtime.
But we have to confess,
you
wonder what we were doing while the game was going. We really, really, really got into it. We got out our hockey outfits. In fact, when the podcast goes up, you will see the picture of us playing hockey.
Yes.
That's going to be the picture that will be on
the ice rink here in the building.
Yeah.
We ran down to the ice rink to get our picture taken in our jerseys with our hockey sticks.
Yep.
Yes. In the newsroom.
Hi,
Ron.
I missed that. I was looking away. I was working on the newscast.
You were slaving over a hockey.
And I
computer.
Didn't get to see you two playing hockey out down the hallways.
Yes, I'll send you the picture.
That would have been a lot of fun. Yes.
So, gosh.
Oh, we had a guest. We should say right at the outset, Joanna Connor, extraordinary blues singer, guitarist from Chicago, was going to join us, but due to the hockey pucks, we're putting that off. Joanna has an album coming out, and she's also, you can see Joanna at Kingston Mines this coming Thursday.
Yes, and that's kind of home for her here in Chicago. I love her, and I love her music, and she's really busy, and she was just hanging out after a show over at the House of Blues, and we said, you know what, we don't know when we're going to get on. We don't just want to keep you just hanging and waiting in the wings, and so she said, well, thanks. I'm here for you anytime you want. So we will get her on in a future show talking about her new music that's out.
And we are going to be talking with Dr. Patrick Crispin a little after midnight. Boy, have we got a ton of things to cover after midnight tonight.
Absolutely.
With Patrick.
Yes.
But we have so much stuff. We came in with 5 hours worth of stuff.
That we have to squeeze in the next 2.5 hours, right?
But what we did want to share a little movie talk with Ron, because in fact, we were telling Ron off the air, we saw a movie when we were out of my brother's on Netflix, a movie that we had no clue about.
We'd seen Sally Field on with Colbert.
Right. And if you can imagine a movie that stars Sally Field and an octopus.
In that order.
And we thought, huh? It's wonderful.
They share top billing in Remarkably Bright Creatures. And immediately I texted Ron, you had seen the movie, right?
I did, yeah. I thought, within a day or two of its release, I thought this looks interesting.
And so what do you like to tell people if you're looking for a movie?
Oh, if you only see one talking octopus movie this year, it should be Remarkably Bright Creatures.
To see Marcellus.
Yeah. And actually, you hear Marcellus's thoughts. Yeah. You don't see him talk. They don't talk. It's not a goofy movie at all. It's not animated. It's a
beautiful.
Really interesting, introspective, touchy-feely movie. And Sally Field, no surprise, is very good. And I didn't know much about Bill Pullman's son.
I'm blown away by
Lewis Pullman, right?
Yeah,
he was extraordinary.
He was in a couple of the Top Gun movies.
He may be. I mean, like I said, he was still new to me. He didn't make much of an impact, but this one he did. And you could see Bill Pullman, in his face, in his reactions. And that's not a bad thing, because Bill Pullman is a very likable actor.
Oh, he sure is.
I love so many things about the movie. The way it was photographed, the casting, and God bless Sally Field. She has had zero face work done. Mm-hmm. She's Sally Field, only older.
Yeah.
And God bless her for appearing kind of sans makeup or what appears to be sans makeup in a lot of these scenes. It's a wonderful performance.
Yeah. 2-time Oscar winner, and there's no surprise there. But to be in a movie straight to Netflix, I guess Netflix is a better movie studio than people give them credit for, and they're putting out some really good content, and this is proof of it right here.
Netflix and HBO are both, they've raised the streaming, the cable, whatever you don't go to a movie theater to see movies bar.
Right, yeah. And Apple TV as well. They have a deal with Martin Scorsese. So, you know, so the days when things that went to streaming first, they're not second tier anymore.
Right.
They're not anymore. So, remarkably bright creatures. It's just a nice, sweet little story about Sally Field, who's a janitor. Yeah, she's a widow, but she's a janitor. And then she has a relationship with this young guy who's just passing through town. His van breaks down. He needs a place to work. And so he gets stuck working on the night shift, as a matter of fact, at the aquarium. And that's where the octopus
Marcellus.
Sees them. Marcellus. Alfred Molina is the voice of the octopus.
Isn't that an interesting choice, too?
And his voicing is perfect.
Yeah. He may be typecast. He may not be able to get another. You're the talking octopus guy. Let's see if we can find some more. But there may be a lot of animated stuff for him.
Well, when the movie was over with, and I dried my tears, because were not sad tears. They were actually, was I was just moved by it. I turned to Steve and I said, if you really love me, you'd get me an octopus. But I've been saying for 40 years, if you really love me, you'd get me a monkey. Yeah. And I have no monkey.
She really has.
So now I'm in the market for an octopus.
Another 40 years. Another 40-year
wait.
That's
right. You also saw a movie I can't wait to see, Power Ballad.
Power Ballad is so good. And it's the song. It's based on a power ballad song. Mm-hmm. The main character's name is Rick Power, and he writes a ballad, so it's automatically a power ballad. But it's Paul Rudd, who's very, very good.
Yes.
And Nick
Jonas.
He's
kind of like a Bill Pullman, so likable.
He is likable in everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've seen a bad performance by him. Mm-hmm. And he's just kind of like Jack Lemmon. You know, a character in that, you know, every time you see a Jack Lemmon movie, he's just a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul Rudd is, and he's an aspiring songwriter who's seen his better days. He used to have a band, but now he's a wedding band singer. And they're actually a really good band, a really good wedding band, probably the best wedding band I'd ever seen. But then he runs into a boy band singer, or a former boy band singer, who wants to get his career back on track. He knows the bride and groom, so he gets up on stage and he sings, and Paul Rudd and he kind of connect as, you know, hey, they both see that they're talented and they're not, you know, reaching their full potential. So they kind of commiserate, they drink a lot of Irish whiskey, and then they drink beer, and then they play guitars, they play, you know, piano, you know, together for each other. And it's like, oh, you know, what about this song? Oh, this is an old song that I was working on, and this is an old one. And then when the wedding band singer needs some new material, he remembers, in the corner of his mind, oh, there was this, how did that go again? And it turns out that people like it. And he's always like, oh, well, I'm looking for new material. And he really can't remember if it's like his song, you know, what he heard about it. So it turns out, of course, when the Paul Rudd character, Rick Power, hears it, he says, that's my song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more than just about the money that we're making. It becomes a big hit. So there's a lot of money and royalties. But it becomes about validation of his life, of, you know, I knew I had talent. All these years I've been telling people I had talent. All these years I've been saying if I just had a break, I could write a hit song. I could have a hit record, you know. And he can't prove it. So then it goes on to, well, I've just got to get to, he lives in Ireland, and the boy band guy, Nick Jonas, lives in America. So he's got to go back and find him. So it's just a terrific movie, and funny, very knowing about the music industry, very knowing about an artist and what an artist goes through. And like I said, and that validation of you need that kind of approval from other people. And I just, big time recommend it.
Some of it filmed in Ireland?
Yeah, most of it. And I can't remember, John Canopy, I think is his name, the writer, director. He has a couple of other movies that maybe you've seen. Once was called.
Oh, that's right.
And another one called Sing Street.
Yeah, he knows music.
And he knows music, and he knows a lot about the music industry. It's a lot like, you know, the Nick Hornby movies that are just so knowing and so fantastic. It's up there with those. And I'll tell you right now, I'll go out on a limb and say that How to Write a Song Without You will be nominated for an Oscar because it's pivotal to the movie.
Oh, and it's getting a lot of airplay.
Yeah.
Because I started talking about the movie months ago because I'd come across the song, and I love both the guys. And I said, yeah, this is going to be big. So did you give brownie points to the movie on the Lisa Dent Show?
I did. I believe I gave it four out of five brownie points.
Ooh.
I absolutely loved it, and Lisa said that maybe that's her date night movie, and I think it's a great idea. So I want to hear next week, I want to hear a review from her how much she thought about it.
Sounds good.
A text from a 630 says the author of Remarkably Bright Creatures lives in Wheaton.
No, really?
And Anderson's bookshop in Naperville has been swimming in autographed copies.
Wow.
They're probably out of them for the near future. Well, we need to contact her.
Yes, because I've mentioned the movie to a couple of people, and they said, you've got to read the book. I said, have you seen the movie? They said, no, but the book is wonderful. So, yeah. If you know the author, could you put a good word in for us?
Speaking of, this is not a new movie, and I know we got a break, but we finished watching a movie last night that came out a few years ago, and now I can't think of the title of
Sparks.
Yes, Ruby Sparks. I'm not giving anything away. The author, or the main character, is an author who wrote a book that was successful, hasn't been able to write another successful book, is seeing a psychiatrist for various reasons.
Elliot Gould.
And then he starts writing stuff, and he starts writing about this woman who suddenly comes to life.
In his house. And he realizes when he sits down at the typewriter, he can make her do whatever he wants, like fall in love with him. Mm-hmm. It is really...
Because she's a fictional character and he can...
But other people see her.
Yeah.
That's what gets weird. He says, you could see her? You can actually see her?
And you don't expect... I absolutely cannot give away the ending. You don't expect the ending.
Yeah.
And this movie really works. I'm surprised it didn't get a whole lot of attention because it's a well-done movie.
Well, the lead actor, his name escapes me right now, but he was kind of blacklisted in Hollywood because he had a falling out with Tarantino, which makes me like him.
Paul Dano. Paul Dano. I just didn't Google it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he's an excellent. And Zoe Kazan is like, wow, I love her.
I don't know why the movie went nowhere, because we stumbled across it and said, well, that sounds kind of like something that's already been done, but it's nothing like what you've seen before.
If you get the chance, watch it, Ron. I'd be really curious to see what you think
of it. I remember when it came out and I didn't see it. I kind of passed it by, but I look at it now and I will definitely do that, especially after your review.
And absolutely stay with it, because it goes places you don't think it's going to go.
Yeah.
You think it's going to do one thing, and all of a sudden, it makes a turn.
It's on my list. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we have a whole bunch of things to get to tonight, including Tech Talk in our midnight hour.
And introducing you to our producer du jour tonight and our producer designate.
Yes. So a lot coming up, so please don't go anywhere. You can get to us. Texting has been hot and heavy tonight because people were waiting for the game to get over with. 312-981-7200. We'll be right back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. You can get to us whenever you want to. 312-981-7200 is the text and talk line. And coming up after midnight, we're going to be talking with Dr. Patrick Crispin.
And a few people tuned in, and 608-773-630 and 847 would like us to repeat the titles of the movie. They apparently were just tuning in and realized, oh, they're live, they're back, the radio is here. Mm-hmm. It's not in some hockey game. So, repeating the titles of the movies that we were talking about, We Saw and Love, Remarkably Bright Creatures. That's the Sally Fields movie with Marcellus the Octopus. And Bob and Sherry texted right after we gave our review and said, I'll never eat calamari again.
I understand.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Remarkably Bright Creatures is the Sally Fields movie.
It's available on Netflix.
It is available on Netflix. And Ron saw Power Ballad last week and gave it 4.5 brownie points out of 5. So that's a good review. And we saw something that we stumbled across on cable, and that was Ruby Sparks. Recommend it too. It's a sweet movie.
Yeah.
It's really... It's different.
It's a sweet movie, but it occasionally, I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah. So three movies if you're looking for something to watch. Oh, now we got another 608. This is what was the movie you were talking about. So Remarkably Bright Creatures, Power Ballads, and Ruby Sparks are the three movies that we were just chatting about.
Another text from 847, what is Dan Chigrou doing the last few years? And for those of you who don't know, Dan Chigrou was a longtime producer of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan decided to retire several years ago. He's
from
having
radio.
A good time from radio.
And raising three beautiful girls.
Yeah.
He has three. I don't want to offend anybody. I know a friend who's a redhead does not like to be called a ginger, but he's got three little gingers that are Irish dancing up a storm. They are unbelievable. They're so cute.
When we were at Dan's wedding, Dan's now wife did this wonderful Irish dance.
Well, she was almost... She was seen dancing, and he wanted, but she was too young, and her dad said, no, we're not going there. So we got to get in touch with Dan, because it's been way too long.
Yeah.
We spent many, many nights with him on the radio.
Yep. In fact, Dan was one of the first ones to start doing videos for us.
That's right. With
GoPro. No. Oh, this is awful. I can't think of the name of it.
We have a couple of them, too. Handheld camera, fits in your pocket, but made great video.
And we still got them, and they still work. And I can't think of the name of it.
I know.
And we did videos of driving back and forth to Florida.
Right, right. But he did some wonderful videos for us of our in-studio performers. And, again...
Some of the videos that you will find if you go to the Stephen Johnny YouTube channel... Some early videos of Tommy Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm.
And
some great videos when Tommy came in with a bunch of people, and we have a whole panel of guitarists performing. Speaking of Shipshawana, as you were at a live commercial just a few moments ago.
That was me.
Tommy's going to be performing in Shipshawana. That's as close as he's going to get to Chicago, which makes me crazy. But I said to you, you know what? It's like 100 miles from here. We got to go see him in Shipshawana.
And we just may.
Yep.
And he's also, for the first time, Tommy has appeared in every state except Alaska.
Yes.
So he's about to head up to Alaska. I think he's got three or four gigs in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know who the heck Tommy Emmanuel is, shame on you. Go to the Stephen Johnny YouTube channel and look at some of the in-studio performances, and you will see Tommy Emmanuel. One of his videos... I think at last count, we've got like 143,000 people that have looked at the video. It's just
very
crazy
nice.
Good.
Yeah. So. We're not going to get to shout-outs till later on tonight, so if you hung with us this long, just keep hanging with us, because we're going to talk tech with Patrick coming up. A whole lot more right here on WGN.
A finely oiled, finely tuned machine.
Yeah.
That's what this is. Did that puck kick something else?
Somebody took a hockey stick to the newsroom.
They did.
If something happens in the next few seconds, let us know.
Yeah.
Because
we don't have a clue.
We're flexible.
Course, we frequently don't have a clue about a whole lot of things. As we're driving in tonight, you said it's a full moon. And as we have done research that has proven that... that I will be interrupted.
Maybe not. What the heck? Okay. We have engineering.
Should I be prepared to start dancing? Is that the...
Engineering is scurrying
is that
around.
The clue? Oh. Okay. Wait a minute. There are people scurrying.
Yes. Yes. I wish
you... Okay. I'm giving... You'll hit it when it's ready? Okay. I can keep talking. Okay. Neil says I can keep talking.
So
that's our producer du jour, Neil, who is telling me to keep talking. This is me saying words that they're coming out of my mouth.
You take a hockey stick to the machine, right?
Yes.
Yes. I was going to say something about, the full moon effect. Because I, for years of doing traffic, I did the research. I can tell you that the full moon effect will last...
For 15 days
before
and 15 days after
the full moon.
The full moon.
So even though the full moon was last Sunday, the blue moon for the month of May, we felt the effects as we were driving into work tonight. Mm-hmm. It's proven, folks. Do not doubt me.
And we're still feeling those effects. And there, I mean, we have, this is fascinating. We should maybe do a little video of what's going on the other side of the glass. Yes. Because there are people, there's a conference and scurrying. And
God bless them. And, yeah, somebody pulled a plug and killed
it. I'm still blaming it on the hockey stick.
I know. I hear you.
And
all I can do is laugh, because what else can you do?
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. See, we thought, given what has happened over the past couple minutes, if we started out with a Windows error sound,
yes,
that would sort of cover us for everything else that may or may not happen for the rest of the show. Okay?
Yes. So, and one of our listeners said, wow, the first 3 hours of the show really flew right by. It's Patrick time already.
It is. And Patrick would be the Director of Educational Technology at the Keck School of Medicine of USC. Hi, Patrick.
Woohoo! How are you guys doing?
Don't ask.
Yeah,
it's been a fun show.
Yeah. All 18 minutes of it. Yeah. Hey, let's start with the serious news, because we had a chance to chat last week.
Yes.
Because there was a national story that got our attention, because it was focused on Pasadena, which is where the Crispins
live.
Which
is where we live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what was this training, quote unquote, exercise going on in Pasadena?
And had there been any advanced notice of this, or what happened? And you guys all okay?
Yeah, we are absolutely perfectly fine, and we appreciate the military and all that they do. But early Thursday morning, U.S. Special Operations Forces conducted, well, basically an urban warfare training exercise at Pasadena's vacant St. Luke Medical Center. So imagine low-flying military helicopters, mm-hmm, troops rappelling down onto the roof, mm-hmm, then shooting and flashbangs and simulated gunfire and grenades and controlled explosions. It was supposed to start around midnight, and it got pushed back to, well, what they say is quote unquote technical difficulties.
Sure.
So it didn't actually wrap until about 2 a.m. Thursday morning.
Wow.
Now, the reason why it got so much attention is that St. Luke's Medical Center, which is closed down in 2002, it sits next to a residential neighborhood. It's about half a mile from Joseph's Elementary School, mm-hmm, literally straight down the road from it. And by the way, this was one of the neighborhoods that was one of the first to burn during the Eden Fire year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. So the residents were, to put it bluntly, they were concerned of the 911 calls coming in and going, why does it sound like Fallujah in Pasadena? It turns out that the public notice, the city had known for a little while, but had been told by the military they could not make an announcement. The public notice about the exercise didn't go out until about 5:30 p.m. City officials were notified about 6 minutes earlier than that. So people are in bed, you know, this is, you know, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, you know, ready to go to school the next day or go to work. And it's, you know, urban warfare going on in their town.
Wow.
By the way, Pasadena wasn't the only city where this happened.
Hmm.
It looks like similar exercises have taken place in Long Beach, City of Industry, Irvine, and across the San Gabriel Valley. And all of them followed the same MO. There was
no,
the notice came like 5-6 hours ahead of time saying, mm-hmm, oh, by the way, we're going to be doing the military training exercise in your neighborhood. And all between midnight and 2 a.m. And you can see why this became a national story.
Sure.
It's just like,
were all of these exercises done at buildings that were no longer inhabited?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
If that is the case, and I don't expect you to be able to answer this, but if that is the case, what on earth is the possible rationalization for not saying to everybody, ain't nobody in this building, you ought to know, mm-hmm, we're going to be doing some practice stuff there? What on earth? And again, I don't expect Patrick to have an answer for this, but come on.
Patrick, you took us by Joseph School, which, as you say, is the area where this exercise was going
on. Where the fire started,
Isn't there a nursing home real close by?
Literally across the street. That was
across
one of the first
the
buildings that fired, that that burned and was rebuilt after the fire.
Wow.
St. Luke, by the way, even though it's closed, is actually a really popular filming location. So if you saw Kill Bill Volume 1, that was shot there. La La Land was shot there.
Really?
A lot of television shows, because it's a great, you know, old hospital.
Yeah.
You get a chance. And again, no patients in it, so you can rent it out. But the military rented it out and went through and went
to town.
Boom, boom.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you guys are okay. It was just really unsettling.
Fine.
When we heard that news, I think
And we had a ton of people texting and asking, can you ask Patrick about
this?
Well,
the last time Patrick was on, we ended the segment by saying, every time something happens in California, we get the messages from folks, what's happening with the Crispins? So,
and
everybody's
Again, this happened in the school that, you know, Joseph's school is in this neighborhood where this happened. Mm-hmm. I asked Joseph, did any of the students actually talk about it and say, no, we were really excited that it was the last day of school, so nobody said anything.
It's all about priorities.
Bring in the helicopters. That's in the flashbangs.
Yeah,
it's the last day of school.
Last day of school. We want to leave.
We're going to take a break, and we got a lot to cover under the heading of Tech Talk with Dr. Patrick Crispin right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin. He is the Director of Educational Technology at the Keck School of Medicine of USC. And oh boy, is there a lot of stuff to talk about this week. Can we start with, everybody is freaking out over, is Meta going to charge us now? Are we going to have to pay for Facebook? And it's understandable.
Yes, I did freak out. And after I ran to Steve and said, we're not going to pay money to be on Facebook because we have to watch ads. And then I texted Patrick, and then you said, we need to talk about that.
Yeah. There are very few things that unite all of us. There is one sentence that you will hear the sentence and you will immediately be enraged. You'll be angry and filled with hatred. We all will. Listen to the sentence, but there's a second sentence that comes after this.
Okay.
At the end of May, Meta announced that they are launching Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp subscriptions, what they're calling Facebook Plus, Instagram Plus, and WhatsApp Plus.
Right.
Now, you are now angry. You are all... Okay. Good news. This is not meant for you and me. It's not meant for TikTok users. So if you're using Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp for free, keep using it for free. These plus, they aren't there for you. And realistically, you're kind of the product for Facebook and Meta right now. Mm-hmm. They're kind of, you're giving them your attention and the personal data.
Right.
You don't need to give them any money.
Thank you.
Here's what's going on. Meta's rolling out Instagram Plus, WhatsApp Plus, and Facebook Plus, specifically designed for creators. In other words, people who make money from Meta platforms, and for businesses who make money from Meta platforms, and Meta AI power users, who, by the way, don't exist, because I don't know anybody who uses Llama and pays for it. But okay, that's fine. This is really meant for these plus accounts are meant for people who treat Instagram or Facebook like a job.
Mm-hmm.
So for local businesses, for small town real estate agents, for fitness coaches, for beauty influencers who have like 8,000 followers. It's not for you or me. So you do not need to pay anything for this. You are not being forced to pay for Facebook or Instagram or WhatsApp. They're just going to add a special thing for these influencers that is going to charge them $2 to $3 a month.
Yeah.
And what do they get for it? Well, they get things like story reactions, which I don't understand why you would want that. Or you could spotlight a story, kind of like what you could do on LinkedIn, where you can say, I want this to appear at the top of my page.
Mm-hmm.
You can do custom fonts. But here's one I think businesses are going to want to latch on to. You can find out who rewatched one of your stories with the idea if somebody watched something that you put up as a business and then watched it again, that person's really interested in your business.
Mm-hmm.
You probably want to contact that person and convert that person into a sale. So that's really all this is a way for businesses and people who make money from Instagram and Facebook and from WhatsApp to kind of track down who they can make money from. you're still going to see ads. You're still being tracked. But, yeah.
But they should have explained that. They should have made that clear. Because when it came up in my feed, I was like, whoa.
Oh, everybody was up in arms. Everybody was up in arms.
$3.99 a month. Are you kidding me? Am I have to look at all of these ads at the same time you're asking
me to pay? Yeah, the ads still show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not ad-free. You're still going to get ads.
And we are the administrators of our Steve and Johnny page. We don't make any money from anything on social media, so it does not apply to us, just like probably 99% of our listeners right now that have social media accounts. It would not apply to them. But there is something for businesses that is very concerning, Patrick, and that is the change happening with Google. Because when the Google search bar changes, now I have friends that do make money using the internet as a tool, and they're very, very concerned that their businesses will suffer as a result of people not finding them when they Google their business or what the topic that their business covers.
They might be right. Last time I was on, it was a couple weeks ago, we talked about how Google's leaning really heavily into AI, and they've revamped the search box for the first time in 25 years. And search box is now bigger, it expands as you type, and it really is very much like an AI agent. You kind of use your mic, or you can upload a file, and you can do whatever you want and ask follow-up questions. When you search for something at Google now, instead of this page full of blue links that we're all used to, you're increasingly seeing this AI-generated answer at the top of the results.
I hate it.
In a newish section called AI Overview. And then you still see the blue links. They're further down the page. They're not going away. But if you go, and somebody actually had a Reddit thread was talking about it, saying that if you ask Google for what's a good tip for a wedding photographer, and the AI summarizes the answer for you, you're going to get an answer right there, and you don't have to leave Google to go to the web page. You don't have to click on anything. So if you're asking questions, for you and me, this is actually going to be faster. It's going to be more useful because I don't have to go to Google and then go someplace else to get the answer. I get the answer straight from Google. So from a consumer perspective, that's kind of an upgrade, unless, you know, the AI gets it wrong.
Exactly. and but, I'm curious because as you're talking about this, I'm looking at the Google search bar, and right above that, there is this kind of a star thing that says, Ask Gemini.
And they're pushing AI heavily. Where things get a little more complicated, if you're trying to do a local search, if you type wedding photographers in my area, like wedding photographers in Naperville, instead of getting a million results, you may instead get an AI curated short list at the top of the page, followed by a million results. That could be good. That could be bad. I know, for example, there's just bad sites out there. Search for local locksmith sometime. Most of the pages that you get are garbage and just fake sites. There, you will not find a local locksmith in Google anymore just because of lead generation sites that have stood up with fake local addresses. So the spam problem is real. But there are people who have built businesses by following the old rules of Google search. A wedding photographer in Naperville who just does a really good job, spent years building a great website, collecting reviews. That person wrote, you know, followed the rules that Google said, you know, okay, these are the rules. And those rules are now changed. So a lot of people are frustrated by this.
Well, in fact, my friend is a photographer in the western suburbs and is totally freaked out by the fact that this is going to have a profound effect on his business. One man who survives with his photography business that thankfully, you know, the internet was helping him.
And you played by the rules. You put all the tags and all the keywords and everything in. And now,
Now, I'm going to help that person a little bit. It may not be as bad as you think it's going to be. Because what's going to happen with this new AI-powered search, if you go to Google and search for information, not leads, but information, like how much does a wedding photographer cost, it's going to give you the answer without going to another website. If you have a website that, you know, sells that sort of information, nobody's clicking on the link to go to your webpage, you're going to lose your money. But if somebody is searching for hiring a wedding photographer in Naperville, that's actually not an informational search. That's a transactional search.
Oh.
And that person actually wants to look at portfolios, read mm-hmm. reviews, make contact. AI isn't going to close the deal, so you're still going to get those links. So the shift isn't that you're going to stop making money. It's that certain websites are going to stop mattering. Mm. If you are getting information, Google's going to pull information from your site, your business profile. But if you are a website that makes your money and your whole strategy is around informational content, blog posts, how-to guides, frequently asked questions, instructions on how to use MS Config. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yeah.
That type of traffic's it's gone. It's not going to be coming back to you anymore. But if you're a local business, you got a good reputation, I don't think this is going to be a big thing. I think from a consumer, I think this is a good thing. From a small business, the sky isn't falling unless you're selling information, in which case, it's going to be interesting. Yeah.
Well, we got a break for news update, but when we get back, I want to throw out something that is bothering me even more than this. It's another Google AI thing, and it is really just, I want to slap.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Oh, I love to hear those good old standards.
What'd you say? Hello? I can turn my headphones back on. Okay.
We're talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin, and we were talking about Google AI search and how Google is having more AI stuff going on.
Yep.
One of the things that has really started annoying me, and I want to say this is increasingly over about the past 2 weeks. Now, they may have been rolling it out in different areas, in different sequences. I don't know. I have never liked the, okay, I'm sending you an email, so when you email me back, we're going to start this whole thread of emails that you have to go through rather than, here's what I sent you, here's your response to me.
Oh, you mean in Gmail? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now, in addition to, you have this six-day thread of emails back and forth. When you finally discover, oh, here is the sixth person responding to this, before you get to that, you have the AI summary of what everybody has said to everybody else.
Yeah.
Give me the damn email.
They're trying to be helpful.
Oh, yes. that's one word for it, for sure. So we talked about...
It is a waste of time. Let me see the email.
Yeah. So people, we're not alone. People are unhappy with changes with Google.
Yeah.
So what are they doing, Patrick? Apparently, Steve has been using something that's becoming the thing, right? Because I've been laughing at him about DuckDuckGo. I'm like, what?
DuckDuckGo.
That's so silly.
I played that in elementary school. So.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
It turns out that while I say that, you know, this is not necessarily a bad thing, the Google AI tools are actually going to help us as consumers. If you're a business, this could be a concern, but from consumers, it's mostly a positive thing, I think, maybe, but not everybody's on board.
Right.
And apparently DuckDuckGo, which is the search engine that Steve has been singing praises about, mm-hmm. Their iPhone apps installs jumped 33% in the week over week.
Wow.
And basically, people following Google's I.O. conference said, what else is out there? And by the way, DuckDuckGo has a AI-free search page. If you go to noai.duckduckgo.com, and apparently people going there is actually up 23% since Google I.O.
Wow.
And normally those numbers go down during Memorial Day because, you know, people are out, mm-hmm. Barbecuing, and they've stayed up. So, there are a lot of people who kind of want to not
an
use AI.
An alternative, yes, mm-hmm. yes. So
but,
do you go to DuckDuckGo.com to find the...
No, you need to go to noai.duckduckgo.com because the thing is, DuckDuckGo really has been trying with AI tools as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to noai.duckduckgo.com, it just flows off the tongue.
It does.
You can avoid the AI altogether. If you want to. I'm still using Google.
And again, I am not against artificial intelligence.
No.
I want to be able to tell it, okay, you sit over there. I'll call you when I need you.
But now you have DuckDuckGo. When
yes.
I open your phone, that's what I see
yes.
as your toolbar, not
yes.
Google.
Yes.
And
he
every time
that.
I open
that's
his fine. Phone, I go, well, that's so silly. But now I'm kind of coming around to like, I'm going to put that on my phone for sure.
But make sure you're going to know AI,
no
DuckDuckGo.com.
AI. Yes. Can I just add, since we're piling on Google, just tonight as I was posting the photos for our drive to work, while I'm posting them, Google Photos changed. Just in my hand, I'm holding the phone, and suddenly, get a load of this, instead of editing a picture, it gives me the option to tidy up. Instead of trimming a picture, it gives me the option of lasso. What? Well, I'm going to tidy up?
Yeah,
I was fine with... Oh, my head. Anyway, changes have come to Google Photos now as of literally hours ago.
And again, we are not anti-change or anti-technology, but let me choose what I want to use and let me use it the way I want to use it.
And I
use AI all the time, so I'm happy about this.
I know you do. But I think our frustration, Patrick, is, and I think we probably represent most of the listeners, is don't change without warning me. Help me. Let me know what's going to happen before, as I was in the middle of editing pictures, it changed to tidying up.
And also, don't just throw AI in there that is going to force me to waste time going through this AI stuff. Say, here it is. If you want to use it, otherwise, here's your email or whatever.
Yes. Or move on. Yep. Go back to paper and pencil. Right? Okay. All right. What else is a cutting edge that's not Google related?
Actually, you sent me a text message during the break. We have a listener who uses a screen reader and is worried about what the T-Mobile US Cellular merger deal means for that listener's cell servers.
Yes.
Turns out, great question and good news. Last August, T-Mobile basically spent about $4.4 billion to acquire U.S. Cellular. Customer accounts are now kind of moving over from U.S. Cellular to T-Mobile. Those started last month.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a U.S. Cellular customer, your move to T-Mobile either has already happened, you didn't know it, or is coming soon. Your phone keeps working through the transition. There's nothing you need to do. All the functionality you've had over on US Cellular, it still works over on T-Mobile. And the plans that you have, they're going to be grandfathered, so there's no cost increases, no reduction in benefits. If you have a SIM card that needs to be replaced or whatever, T-Mobile will walk you through it. But for the listener, T-Mobile actually is really, 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 really good with accessibility, particularly if you're blind and have low vision.
Mm-hmm.
They have a dedicated support team, Braille and large print billing, device assistance. If you go to tmobileaccess.com, you can find out a whole bunch of information there.
I want to pause you on that. So they have a large print thing. So for people, and I'm full disclosure, like my brother who is starting to deal with some vision problems, you can get larger...
Large print bills. Yep. Large print bills.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
And just go to tmobileaccess.com. And again, they have a dedicated support team for people with accessibility issues. And it's really fantastic. A big thing, by the way, if you have a US Cellular and you had this lifetime discount program, that may or may not be grandfathered. You might have to talk to T-Mobile about that, but I'll put a link in the show notes to find out more.
Okay. Well, good question. Thank you very much to our listener who is genuinely concerned about change. When you're,
when your
computer becomes your lifeline and you hear that there are going to be changes, that's very unsettling. Okay.
Yep.
Let's see. Should we talk about hacks? Because there are some hacks that we need to cover.
There are a couple of them. And this one, one of these just made me laugh out loud. And we've been bragging on AI for a good reason. And we've all noticed that when you go to a website nowadays and you try to contact a company, there's more and more an AI chatbot that you're talking to instead of a human being.
Yeah.
And for the most part, that's a fine. If I'm looking for information, okay. The problem is that if a company hands their AI chatbot the keys to actually do things, consequential things, like, say, resetting passwords or changing the email address on your account, that's a bad thing. Because if a bad guy can talk the AI chatbot into giving them access to your account, it's no longer your account, it's their account.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened to Instagram. I wish I'm making this up. Meta, we talked about them earlier, rolled out an AI support chatbot back in March. Hackers figured out that if you simply chatted with that bot and said, hey, I need to change the email address on this account, it would just do it.
Whoa.
It would send the confirmation code to the hacker. The hacker would enter it, and boom
they had
access.
Wow.
No technical exploit, no sophisticated code. If the person who owned the account had two-factor authentication, the chatbot just ignored it
gave
the bad guys the bad guys just had to ask politely, and it turned out this worked on some notable accounts, including the Barack Obama White House account.
Oh boy.
The chief master sergeant of the U.S. Space Force, that his account was taken over by Iranians who started posting pro-Iranian things to his account. Sephora was hacked. This has been going around in hacker communities for months, but the other thing is if your account got attacked and taken over, there wasn't any way to tell a human, hey, someone's taken over my account, because Meta's replaced the humans with an AI.
Oh my
gosh. So the same AI that gave the bad guys the accounts
won't help you, the good guys.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So Meta says that they fixed it. They've reached out to the people who are affected. But, oh, man, this is as companies are rolling out AI chatbots, they're taking a really big risk.
Mm-hmm.
And, an AI that can take action, which is what everybody's talking about, agentic AI, is an AI that can be manipulated to do bad stuff.
Let me ask you, go back to what's the word you just said? Agentic?
Agentic. An agent.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. It's an agent that does something. And that is what everybody's talking about, is I want to create an AI bot that does something for me, like books tickets or calls restaurants or whatever. Well, if an AI can do something, it can do something wrong or do something bad. That's troubling.
Yeah. Wow.
So
on any level, is any of this making Meta and everybody else say, you know, we need to keep some sort of in-house real person option for people to get to?
You know, the market actually kind of rewards Meta when they lay people off, and Meta's getting really good at laying people off. So they're not being punished for laying the people off. So no, you know, it's a risk they're willing to take because the reward is worth it.
Wow. Well, on that happy note, we'll take a break and let you chew on that a bit and come right back with more Tech Talk with Dr. Patrick Crispin on WGN.
Okay, well, Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. A few more minutes left with Dr. Patrick Crispin talking about all kinds of tech stuff. And there is one other hacking incident or situation we need to spend a little time with, right?
Yeah, you sent me this, and I kind of checked it out. There was a story that showed up on WGN TV that said the FBI is warning that hackers may have found a way into your Microsoft accounts, and they don't even need to know your password. The way it works is you receive what looks like a legitimate, but keyword here, unexpected message often through email, maybe through Teams, that ask you to visit a Microsoft website and enter a short code to verify your identity. When you do that, though, that's when the hacker instantly gets access to your Outlook, Teams, or Microsoft 365 account. No password is required. This is actually a known issue called device code phishing, and it kind of exploits the way Microsoft does login flows. And it's how you would use Microsoft to sign in on a TV or a smart device without a keyboard. They just found a way to break that. And they're hijacking the process and turning it on you and me. WGN's article, the TV article, kind of linked to a story from the FBI. And I read the FBI's guidance on how to deal with this, and it wasn't meant for human beings, or at least not people who aren't technical administrators. Because it was literally stuff about, okay, what you need to do is audit your Azure settings and block authentication transfer policies. Sure. And it's just like,
what?
Okay, how many people are Entra administrators at home?
What?
I mean, if you're a corporate IT guy, you understand what I'm talking about. Those of us who are at home, it's like, what? Mm-hmm. Here's what you need to do. Ignore the FBI announcement, because there's nothing you need to do other than be suspicious of any email message asking you to visit a Microsoft site and type in a code, especially if you didn't actually start a login yourself. Mm-hmm. Some sort of thing out of the blue saying, hey, you need to log into Microsoft. That's a big red flag. Don't do that. That's just not how Microsoft normally works. Get that message. Big, big, big red flag. Don't enter the code. If you initiate the login, you can enter the code. But if someone else is asking you to do it, nope, that is a bad guy trying to get in your account. You remember that? You're safe.
Mm. Okay.
There's so much.
By the way, if you're glazing over at some of this, don't worry about writing it down. It will all be in the Patrick show notes that will be on our blog in about the next 24 hours. And if you haven't checked out our blog, you should do that. Our blog is at Steve and Johnny, spelled Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-I-E. steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. We would love if you would subscribe. There is no fee. We don't spam you.
We don't use AI. There's no chatbot involved with it. It's all us.
We have no. You don't get artificial intelligence. You just get our intelligence.
And we try real hard.
And you will get an email anytime we do a new blog post. That's about it. We also, before we wrap up, we want to talk a little bit about the Worldwide Developers Conference.
That's right. Tomorrow, well, Monday, is Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference. It's where engineers come to Apple's campus and Apple previews upcoming software and operating system changes that the developers need to know about. And these are the people who build apps for Apple's platforms. Do not expect to hear of any new products this week. No new phones, no new computers. Those come, you know, in September. WWDC is really just about codes and the iOS and Apple operating system. It looks like Bloomberg Mark Gurman is predicting that Apple is going to unveil a significantly overhauled Siri with, unfortunately, a bunch of new AI features. Mm. Hopefully they'll work. I was watching the basketball game, and there was a Siri commercial, and they said, hey, ask Siri to say, Who is leading the NBA in rebounds over the postseason? So I did it. I just said, okay, I'll try it. It gave me the wrong answer.
And they were telling you to try it? To be amazed?
Do this. And it's like, the stats you just gave me are for the entire season. I told you to give me only the postseason. Were you not paying attention? Siri is hot garbage.
Quote unquote, hot garbage, as Joseph at 10 years old will tell
hot
you.
Garbage.
Without
garbage.
A doubt, it's hot garbage. Yes.
Big thing is basically these are going to be the operating system for the iPhone, iPad, Mac, Apple Watch, Apple TV, Vision Pro headset. No new hardware, just coming up with, you know, what's going to come up in iOS 27, Mac OS 27, Watch OS 27 when they release.
So
those probably don't release until September.
Thank you. That was exactly my next question, because if we're talking about this in June, then it will happen this year, but it will probably happen in the fall. Okay. Wow.
Speaking of Macs, I have to pause for a second. we use both Windows and Apple computers. And over the past, I would say, a couple of years, oh boy, have we fallen in love with the MacBook Air. There has never been a battery that has lasted as long as this, and it's a really good laptop computer.
And the new MacBook Neo, which is sort of a step down from the MacBook Air, but $600-$700. Mm-hmm. It is so popular right now because everybody is buying it. Apple had to double production.
Really?
It is. If you're looking for a good entry level laptop, this is something. The MacBook Neo is fantastic. Go to an Apple store, just look at it, pick it up. You will be shocked at what you can do with this thing. And again, it's an entry level laptop. If you're going to be, doing video editing or using Photoshop, this is not the tool for you. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be doing Blender or stuff like that, no. But this is for most people. If you're just going to be surfing the web and maybe streaming videos and things like that, MacBook Neo is a step down from the MacBook Air and really, really good.
Well, you're in education. Do you think it would be enough for a student as their laptop? So the Neo is a good choice.
I think unless you're going into an engineering program, unless you're going to be going into cinema, for most students, again, you're going to be running Microsoft Office on it. You're going to be searching the web. You're going to be streaming videos. It's perfect.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I'm thinking of, let me ask you the obvious question, though, because Steve was complimenting I caught him in the kitchen talking to the MacBook Air about the battery is very impressive. Yeah, do you get fantastic. Something similar in the Neo?
It's actually maybe a little better because it's
not doing as many things.
It's not as crunching as much.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, you'll get all the battery use out of it.
Okay.
By the way, I know we talked about this, and we're running out of time, but we touched on this a couple weeks ago. But, oh boy, pay attention to your updates. Do your updates.
Yes.
I've noticed over the past week here's this or that update is available. And I'm trying to think of the name of the program that I use all the time on a Windows machine that tells you when something is that needs to be updated. But check your updates because, oh boy, there are holes being found in everything and patch them now.
And it's because of AI catching the holes and giving the good guys a chance to patch them before the bad guys take advantage of it.
Need
to be on them.
We've come full circle. We started out dissing AI, but now we've decided that there are some good things that AI can do for us.
as long as it sits over in the corner till we need it to do those good
until
things.
Until you need it.
And
that's
can
right.
I add, because I talked to a couple of people in the past week who said, hey, did you get that update on your phone? When you get updates on your phone, you also need to grin and bear it.
It changes
things. I know it's frustrating. Sometimes you say, it's not the way it was before, and it was fine before. Something happened that demanded an update, and so you need to go ahead and do that, too. Well, Patrick, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hug our grandson, who's enjoying being a free boy.
He's now a fifth grader, a rising fifth grader.
Oh,
What's up with that?
I know. Well, have a good week, Patrick. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Now, these are not the things we can do without. We'd rather they all stick around and keep listening to us. We're going to do a whole bunch of shouts, but can we start with a little unusual shout tonight? A very special shout out.
We are well protected.
Williams Bay in Wisconsin, their police department, has Lieutenant Daniel S. Hammett.
Daniel S. Hammett had an encounter, a legitimate encounter.
Encounter of the WGN kind.
With one of our engineers, Adam Phillips. Adam was headed up to Lake Geneva in the middle of the night. It was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, Saturday. Friday night, Saturday morning.
To set up for Lou Manfredini's show.
Right. And there was a huge crowd that was going to come out. And so he had to get there real early to be sure everything was in order so Lou and Lindsay could hit the ground running, right?
And he's driving the WGN radio van.
Which is a big honking van with the call letters on the side of it. And he realizes that he's being followed by an officer.
Dun, 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 dun.
No flashing lights or anything, but he realizes that he's still with him, and I guess it went on for quite some time, and then finally he was pulled over. Legit. Again, Adam did nothing wrong. He knew he did nothing wrong. When the lieutenant walked up to the window, he asked him if he was WGN for real, as I understand it, and Adam, this is our van, and I'm going to Lake Geneva. And he says, well, I just want to talk to you about Steve and Johnny. I want them to give me a shout out because I listen, and I've been listening forever. And I guess he stuck around with Adam for quite some time to bend his ear about the years that he's listened to the Steve and Johnny show. So
that is so nice.
It is.
And Daniel, or Lieutenant, whichever you would like us to call you, that is so nice. We really, really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And we also appreciate the fact that you didn't throw Adam in jail.
And I know you said the same thing I did. My stomach would have been in my throat as I'm driving. Like, really? What did I do wrong? What did I do? Adam said, I knew I didn't do anything wrong, so I just kept on cruising on down the road.
But at some point, I'd be curious to talk with Lieutenant Hammond to find out if he is always on the overnight shift. Because one of my closest friends, who had been a drummer of mine for many years, my buddy George, he went to work with the Bensonville Police Department. And one of the things I never understood was one week he'd be on days.
Yeah.
Next week he'd be on nights. I don't understand how you can expect someone who you give the responsibility to make the kind of decisions that police officers have to make, and they carry a gun, and you're going to say, okay, you're up at this time of the day, now you're up at this time of the day, now you're up at this time of the day.
It's hard.
I never understood that. So my impression from the contact we had with Adam is that Lieutenant Hammond is pretty much on nights, which is how he came to discover us. And thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Yes,
we really, really appreciate it.
So now when we cross over with our Illinois license plate, we're going to keep his business card in our wallet. So if I have to pull out my driver's license, I go, oops, I'm sorry, that's Lieutenant Hammond's business card.
Our dear friend, Lieutenant Hammond.
That's right.
Okay, we're going to get to some of the other shouts.
Yes.
And every week I like to give a shout out to some of the people who are nice enough to follow us on our blog. And again, our blog is stevenjohnny.wordpress.com. We would love if you would subscribe to it. No fee. We don't spam you. You only get an email anytime we do a new blog post.
So?
We're interested every week.
It's China.
We get people following our blog from countries all over the world, and it has started increasing. So we'll give you the top 10 for this week. The United States is number one. Number two, Hong Kong, SAR, China.
See?
Number three, Belgium. Number four, Singapore. Number five, Germany. Number six, Canada. Number seven, and I think this is kind of new, Serbia.
Oh, yeah.
Number eight, India. Number nine, the Netherlands. And number 10, Italy.
Italy is new. And I think it's because George was there with 36 other locals on a tour, and we heard from him the 2 weekends that he was there, and I think he got the word out, and now Italy. Thank you, George. Italy is now showing up. I'm sure that's it.
And let me mention some of the people who chimed in on our most recent blog post. So good evening, happy June. I'll be listening on my phone in Samich. That's
Debbie Tusick. Yes.
I'll be listening in on AM radio tonight from Libertyville. That's Humbled. I don't know who that is, but it's a Humble 1DED. So, okay. Then Mark Orr from Arlington Heights tuned in from Arlington Heights. And Steve and Johnny, another great night. I'll be listening from an app on my cell phone from Port Charlotte, Florida, and that's Robin Aiken.
Yes, we have a lot of Floridians that tune in. You mentioned Arlington Heights, Bob and Sherry. They check in every Saturday night. Stacy Dreger's out in Algonquin. Scott is in South Dakota. Sherry's in Bolingbrook. Sherry Hanrahan is in Boston. Rob, I think Boston, that's a first for Boston to check in, too. Rob and Amy are in Whiting, Indiana. Peter Lawrence is in Chicago Heights. George Clement is in Augusta, Georgia. And you'll see a cute picture. George did a little magic with my favorite building on the north side of Chicago.
Thank you, George.
We own that building because our names are on that building. So that's all up to George. Bing Besh is in Winfield. Bobby Danos is our bubby. He's our bubby out in Sandwich. That's our bubby. Bobby. Miriam is in Seneca. Jim is in Richmond. Jim G is in Kashkanag Township in Wisconsin. Todd is in Honolulu. First time Honolulu has checked in.
Yeah.
Yeah. George and Bonnie are in Elgin. Linda Moeller is in the Oklahoma Panhandle. Megan and Barb Bishop are tuned in. Dan and Deb Scott, along with their fur baby Arlo, are listening out in Streamwood. Eric Baum, you hear us mention Eric every week because he puts up these beautiful pictures from Wells Beach, Maine.
I love tonight's picture. Yeah. It is from Hobbs Harbor House Restaurant located in Wells Harbor at sunset. What a gorgeous picture.
It is.
And you can go to our Facebook page and you can click on some of the comments and you'll see Eric's picture.
Joan Smith in Holland, Michigan, tuned in tonight. Peter Jakubowicz is listening in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Lynn Kinzer's in San Antonio, Florida. Diane Vasquez is our good graphics guru in Northwest Indiana and a White Sox fan. Oh, boy,
yay.
We've had a good week, too.
Yes.
Yes. Judy B. is in Oak Lawn. Beverly Goodall is tuned in. She says, thank you for letting me know where to find the White Sox purse. It came on Monday. I love it. It's really nice. I'm glad you like it, Beverly. I heard from a couple of ladies that bought the purse either for themselves or for a Sox fan in the family. And if you're wondering, that's a purse you will see in a picture from a couple of weeks ago. And that was during the Cubs-Sox beating that the Cubs took.
Yes.
And
that was when the Cubs, Sox broke the Cubs.
Yeah. For the next 10 games.
Yep.
But that purse was made by or sold by Fanatics, but available through Kohl's at a pretty decent price, too. Brian Lefevre is tuned in Bridgeport. Brian mentions Blues Fest. I'm sorry, because of a double overtime, we were not able to get to our guest, Joanna Connor, who's performing in town this week because Blues Fest is here.
But Joanna will be on with us in a couple weeks. And this Thursday, she is performing at
Kingston Mines. Absolutely. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah. Gene Jacobson's in Milwaukee. Carrie Johnson in Palm Coast, Florida. Scott Cooper's out in Naperville. Helen Thomas is in Kenosha. Kathy Abnar in Peoria. Bonnie Pearson in Grays Lake. Ellen Maria is in Marengo. Chuck Snitchler, the guy that we say is the best friend of this radio station and to this show. He's tuned in from Valpo with an adorable picture of little Athena. And Susie Schimmel is in Glen Ellen. Laura Lampe is in the Villages of Florida. Gail Maslin is in Tinley Park. Debbie Hardiman in Waukesha. Mary Gold in Tinley Park. Carrie Hunt in Ruskin, Florida. Kristen Moberg is listening from Road America. Oh, well, thank you, Kristen. Jim Smith is in Chicago. Thank goodness Chicago's checking in. Margot Moore is in 92 degree.
Are we getting out to Chicago tonight?
Yeah, wow. Albuquerque. Mark Goldstein, Owens Mills, Maryland, home of Motor Week.
And our buddy John Davis.
Yep. Mary Clancy's in Chicago Lawn. Nancy Hollins is tuned in on her AM radio, as is Marty Duda. And Larry Mann is in Miami. Nancy Witts in Milwaukee. Karen Rosenkrantz in Grays Lake. John Goodlow is listening. And he says, I'm going to realize that you two are more important and entertaining than what? I don't know.
Yeah,
but thank you, John. Mildred Bartlett is in Oregon, Illinois. Patrice Tintero is in Northwest Indiana. Janice Coratobi is in Chicago. Rich DeLuca and Todd Moe. Todd is in God's country up in Egg Harbor, Wisconsin. And if I missed you.
Did we mention Bobby Danos?
I did. I called him Booby.
Yes. Bobby Booby.
Booby Bobby. Yes.
I just want to mention him again. Yes. Hey, Bobby. Long-time friend.
Yes, and I missed him for a couple of weeks. Dan Lewandowski.
Well, that's why I need to mention him a couple more times. Bobby Dan.
Dan Lewandowski just checked in from Norwich. He's a Norwich native and a lifelong hockey fan, was tuned in.
Have you mentioned Bobby Danos?
Steve. Asheville, North Carolina is checking in tonight. Marlene is in Old Norwood Park across from the oldest house in the city of Chicago. Thank you, Marlene. It's always nice to hear from you. Lieutenant Dan in Williams Bay, I am listening. Thanks for the shout-out. Thank you, Lieutenant Dan. Yes. That's so funny. I just know Adam is a upstanding guy, and I know that he wasn't nervous, but I would be sick to my stomach. I'm sorry, Lieutenant. I would have just died 1,000 deaths.
Well, it happened to me. The day that you were driving our then-new Cadillac with night vision.
Yep. It was, to be exact, 6:30.
It was Christmas morning, wasn't it?
6:30 on a Christmas morning, and I lost the potatoes. I could not find the potatoes in our house.
I hate when you lose your potatoes.
I was tearing the house apart trying to find a sack of potatoes, and finally I said, I've just got to go buy some potatoes. And I'm driving down McCormick on the north side, and lights start flashing, and I'm thinking, but it's Christmas morning, and I have my pajamas on under my coat. I just need some potatoes. And the officer walks up to the car, and the window is down, and he says, do you have night vision on that car? And I said, yes, sir. Do you mind if I stick my head in and look at it? And he stuck his head in, and he looked at the dash, and he goes, that is really cool. Merry Christmas. I'm still shaking as I'm driving down the road. Oh, thank you, officer. That was really scary.
Yeah.
But I found my potatoes. I did find a market that was open, and I was not the only one that was in searching for potatoes and onions and things, valuable Christmas morning things.
But it's good to know that Lieutenant Dan is protecting us tonight.
Yes, thank you very much. We're going to squeeze a lot more in this last hour of the show here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. Well, we mentioned at the start of the show, which was much later than the start of the show had been anticipated, that we have a boatload of producers tonight. Jonathan Lyle, who is our producer designate.
Right.
And tonight's producer du jour, that would be your Neil Fisher. And Neil is in the studio with us. Hey, Neil.
I love being called producer du jour.
Yes, because you are an author, a filmmaker, a podcaster, a pop culture fanatic, and you hang out here at the radio station, but this was the first time we got to meet you because you're working on the Saturday morning Hochberg Show.
I'm doing David Hochberg Show. I do Dave Plyer Show and On the Map on Fridays. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I bet you have a field day with Dave Plyer.
Yes.
Being a pop culture fanatic, as he lands some pretty impressive guests.
Yeah. He does. It's always great, and I know all the references, so I'm able to chime in if I need to. And
yeah.
I love that because it's Hollywood history. I grew up reading Marilyn Monroe biographies and Humphrey Bogart biographies with my mom instead of kids' books. So I'm very used to it. The Tonys are tomorrow. I'm very excited. So I'm just very pop culture to my core.
Okay. I'm going to guess that you may do the same thing that we do on Saturdays. Every Saturday, we record the noir films on TCM on Saturday nights.
I love noir. So I don't record them, but I've seen so many of them. I love them to death. Yeah.
So your book, you are a published author. Tell us about your book.
Yeah, so I'm a pop culture author. Normally, my first book was 2022. It was a love letter to Patrick Swayze. I was directing commercials, which I do as my day job. And when COVID hit, I wasn't able to direct anything. So wrote a book about Patrick Swayze. And it's
okay, I'm going to interrupt you right here. Dirty Dancing is or actually just about any Patrick Swayze movie.
Roadhouse is one of my favorites.
If we're trolling on 3 in the morning on TV and any Patrick Swayze movie comes on, we're there.
Me too.
Roadhouse is my favorite. It's just so much great fun. I mean, Dean Cundey was the DP of that who did Jurassic Park and Back to the Future. That's why it looks so nice. And then I just started writing books as a pivot in between commercials and other gigs. And my newest book is coming out in December. It's called Mission Impossible, The Ultimate Fan Guide, It's all about the movies and the TV series, all about Tom Cruise and how they did all the stunts and all that good stuff.
Wow. So you include the TV series, too.
I do, yeah. The first two chapters are all about the TV series, which was really fascinating for me to learn. I'd only seen a few episodes, but I actually met Martin Landau at a Hollywood convention, and
nice.
I talked to him about it, and he gave me three lessons to be a successful filmmaker. This was 15 years ago, and he said, you know, be on time, be under budget, and I don't want to say the word on the air, but don't be mean, is what he said. And he said, you'll last in the business a long time.
Interesting. So you do a podcast as well.
I do, yeah. I have a podcast called Triviality. It's like a trivia game show every week. I've mm-hmm. been doing that for about 10 years. And then a good friend of mine, Lauren Tagliaferro, is an art historian, and we have a film and art discussion podcast called Curated by Chance.
And you're married? You have time to be married
while
you're doing all of this stuff?
Yeah, my wife, Colleen, she's the greatest person ever. She's also a director. She directs all the plays and musicals at Riverside Brookfield High School.
Really?
And is a special education teacher, yeah.
Oh, cool.
I don't know how she has time, but yeah.
So you also are in theater?
Yeah, I grew up in theater. I started directing theater first, moved to film, and then the last 10, 15 years I've been doing a lot of commercials. So I've been doing all over.
So Chicago's a great place for commercials.
Yeah, it's been really great. And I had the opportunity to do a Super Bowl campaign for Cars.com.
Really?
Yeah, which was really great. And a lot of Dunkin' Donuts and WeatherTech and different companies like that.
And you're also a jazz musician?
Yeah, I'm a drummer. I've been a drummer since third grade.
Stop. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I am too. That's why I never talk about myself. Yeah, I'm a drummer and I'm a singer. I sang Frank Sinatra in high school and did all the musicals. And I was the jazz drummer for our jazz band.
Okay.
Wow.
In high school?
Yep.
So you were in high school in what years?
99 to 03.
Okay. In the middle of 99 and 03, how did you, in the middle of all the other stuff, Michael Jackson, everything else that's going on, how did you gravitate towards Sinatra? I love this.
I've always been an old soul. Like I said, my mom and I watched old Hollywood movies. I was always obsessed with Sinatra, the Rat Pack, all of his old movies, you know, anything you can name, really. And I just loved his voice, and no one else was doing it. And I said, well, I want to take that lane then because no one else is.
I have to ask you, what's your opinion of what has become one of my favorite Sinatra albums that was pretty much universally panned when it first came out, Water Sound?
Yeah, I mean, I like everything that he's done, and Water Sound including, but I can see why some people wouldn't like it. I like all the sort of the B-side Sinatra, the depressed Sinatra, I think. I love that. My favorite song of his is One for My Baby, One for the Road.
Oh. Absolutely.
So, yeah, because I can just picture myself on the corner of the bar in the saloon where he's over there sulking with Ava Gardner. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you have to come back and be a guest.
I would love to, yeah.
In fact, we should work out some kind of trivia thing that we could do with you.
I'll do trivia with you whenever you want. Just give me a topic, and I'll come with 10 questions, 5 questions, whatever.
Okay. And on your website, Neil, with an N-E-A-L, Fisher, Neil E. Fisher, I see Christmas Movie Ultimate Trivia Book.
Yep, yeah, I released that 2 years ago. I did two books. I did a Christmas movie trivia and a rom-com movie trivia.
We actually have your Christmas movie
really?
In our library.
Yes.
Oh, no way.
We do.
That just made my month. Thank you.
I have no... I'm like looking...
By the way, I hate to interrupt, but our producer designate just told me that if we don't break for the news right now, he's going to slap all of us.
He's holding up a fist.
He is.
That is a fist, right? Or is he saying we're number one?
I'm not sure.
I
won't be violent, I promise.
Okay. Well, we will take a break and come right back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Those of you who have been with us for a while recognize the music of Les Paul and Mary Ford and mm-hmm. Tiger Rag. And this coming week would have been Les Paul's 111th birthday on June 9th.
Amazing. He was still performing Tiger Rag well into his 90s.
He was still performing at the Club Iridium when he was 94.
Yeah.
And for those of you who may be new to our relationship with Les Paul, we were very, very fortunate to have a wonderful friendship with Les. And after he passed away, we wrote a memoir. It's called A Little More Less. It's still available.
It's our love letter to him.
Yeah.
So none of the... somebody said, well, isn't there some good dirt in your book?
No. It's a combination of... transcripts of some of the interviews we did with him, and also some behind the scenes stories and photos that you won't find anyplace else.
And it's very WGN centric. So if you're a fan of this radio station, you can understand some of the stuff that we share with you behind the scenes, like things that we learned from him about how to do broadcast, which was pretty amazing because he was working at this radio station back in the 30s.
But we'll give you one example. For a long time, the wonderful engineering crew here at WGN Radio had been trying to construct something because we have a lot of musical guests. And
live in studio.
Engineers had been working on something that would help some of the guitar players and some other, and they had this big, they would roll in this, what amounted to another console that we'd have to work with anytime we had a guitar player in the studio. And one night on the air, we told Les about it, and he said, "Why are you doing all that? Get a Shure high to low impedance converter, unplug one of the microphones, and plug this in there, and have him plug his guitar, and it comes right through the board." We did it.
It was amazing.
We went up to Guitar Works in Evanston, got the high to low impedance converter,
which you can carry in your pocket. That's how small
literally,
it is.
Yeah.
So we went from having a cart on wheels that was rolled in so that we could plug in guitars and entertainers and give them good sound. And all it took was that one plug that we would just plug in, and voila, it was magic. Yeah. It was great.
And that's just one of the stories you can read about in our book.
And
I'm not
pictures,
doing
lots of
this as just a plug for our book. But if you'd like it, you can go to alittlemoreless.com.
And
is the website.
If you're a fan of Steve Alexander, who you hear all the time during the day, especially on the John Williams show, Steve Alexander's company was the publisher of our book.
Bantry Bay Books.
And we went with them because we wanted the pictures to pop on the pages. We did not want black and white pictures. We wanted color pictures, and we wanted neat font. And boy, they did a fabulous job of putting together our book with all kinds of cool things, like the page numbers are on little guitars throughout the book. And it was... I'm very proud of it, and I'm very proud that we got to work with Bantry Bay Books and Steve Alexander and Diane.
In fact, keep watching our blog, because later this week, his birthday would have been on the 9th, so around the 9th, we'll put links to some of the audio that is still available on the WGN Radio website of some of our interviews with Les Paul.
Right.
And again, for those of you who don't know who Les Paul was, A, you should. B, without Les Paul, we probably wouldn't be sitting in this studio doing what we do right now. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who first invented, he was one of the pioneers of multiple recording techniques, reverb, close miking. I mean, he was just an incredible mind.
He was a genius.
Yeah.
He really was.
Yeah.
He was actually ahead of his time, but... He learned how to share his knowledge with the world, and so he's very well represented in the Smithsonian Museum for his technological advances. And then, of course, I think we figured out there's like a dozen halls of fame that he's in, everything from the Rock Hall of Fame, of course, even though they were a little late in getting him into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yeah,
the Musicians Hall of Fame, the Inventors Hall of Fame.
The Songwriters Hall of Fame,
yeah.
The Country Music Hall of Fame. Yeah. It just goes
you
on
name
and
it,
on. Yes.
He's there.
So a little nod to Les.
We should, because we are rapidly running out of time, we should mention that next week, theoretically...
We literally 5 hours of stuff here.
Yep. Theoretically, next week... We start at 9 p.m., and boy, have we got some interesting things going on for next week.
Yeah.
A guy that you used to interview a long time ago, Todd Wilbur.
Yep. We talked to Todd when I was back at the radio station down the street, WIND, and he, at that time, was the guy that was copycatting recipes from chain restaurants. So if you went to White Castle and you said, "I just love them sliders," how could he was the guy that put out the cookbook, Copycat Recipes. Mm-hmm. Well, now here we are, decades later, and he has a new cookbook out called Hack That Dish. And we're going to talk about hacking that dish and mm-hmm. the fact that it's been literally decades since we talked.
Also, a return in studio visit from one of our favorite musicians, Terry White, who will be performing at Fitzgerald's American Music Festival on Sunday, July 5th. But he's going to be hanging out with us and sharing some music with us next week.
July falls on a Saturday this year, so the American Music Festival is going to be quite the shindig for the whole weekend.
Also next week, publisher of Consumer Guide, Tom Appel, will be joining us. And boy, have we got a bunch of things to talk about with Tom. So again, theoretically, we start at 9 p.m. I don't think that will change. So,
No.
So 9 p.m.
We're going to be here at 9 o'clock, so you guys be here too.
And then we should also mention that next week will be our last week for 2 weeks from this studio, because in 2 weeks we will be broadcasting from WKGC in Panama City, Florida.
Because Lord knows we're not hot enough in Chicago, so we're just going to go to Florida where it's not only hot, but it's really humid.
Yeah.
And,
And one of the things we're going to be doing when we're first down there, Jack and Jen are going to be joining us in the studio. And if you're a longtime listener, you've heard them. They have a brand new album coming out. They're going to be premiering it on our show. They are wonderful musicians.
I'm in awe of Jack and Jen because they have done some incredible stuff. I know they've got a lot of fans as a result of doing our show when we've been down in Florida. Check out their new website. It blows my mind. They are doing top class.
And the website is just jackandgin.com.
As in Jack Daniels and gin and tonic, because that's how they met at a bar that they were working, and he was drinking the Jack and she was drinking the gin. Oh, and speaking of music, we have posted the videos from a couple weeks ago when we had two-thirds of River Road Trio in studio with us.
Yes.
And our former producer, Julian, who's now our official videographer, did some fabulous videos of the two of them. So those videos are available through our blog and on our YouTube page.
Oops, I think that's the signal that we need to shut up and stop talking, because Big Plug Bob is riding the Zamboni to clean up the studio.
You know, we're not that messy, but he insists on getting the place cleaned up.
I know.
Wendy will be in here in the morning. He wants the place to look real good and clean for her.
Well, because she's bringing in lots of food and stuff, and he doesn't want any of our junk around. So if you would like to be our last caller and win some goodies from this here radio place, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. That number again is
312-981-7200.
And as long as you haven't won anything from this here radio place in the past 60 days or 2 months, whichever comes first, you will be able to win some goodies.
Yes. And we'd love to chat with you. You don't have to have anything important to talk about. You can just tell us what's happening in your world, what you have planned for Sunday. If you're a Sox or Cubs fan, sorry.
Do you play hockey?
Yes.
So we're just... we're kind of wide open.
Yes. By the way, Julian misses us because he just checked in at 312-981-7200.
Hi, Julian.
Hi. We miss you.
Oh.
I know.
Okay.
And the voice you will hear on the other side of the glass is our new producer. That would be your Jonathan. So get to know him, because he's going to be keeping us out of trouble, right? Wasn't that the top of the requirements, the things to do on the show, right?
Okay, we got to stop talking and go for our last caller, so stick around and we'll see what happens next. Can't stay here, and you cannot hear the rest of that song unless it is our last night on the air.
If you ever hear the rest of the song, you know we ain't coming back. It will be our swan song. And if you wonder why, then all you have to do is go to the interwebs and look up the closing song by Red Peters. And when you hear it, I wouldn't play it around the kids or your mama, because she'd probably get upset. That language. Oh, my gosh. that's why you will never hear the whole song on the show. But we're going to get Red back on the show, because he's a funny guy.
Yeah. He was a great interview.
And the story of that song is also quite wonderful. So, all right, we got a bunch of people on the line at 312-981-7200. Don't forget that number. That's the number you can get to us all the time via text. And right now, we're looking for our last caller. Now, we have two producers tonight. Yeah. Let's see, one, two, three, four. There are four, five guys.
Divide by three, and it's the sixth month and the sixth day. Well,
realize?
Actually, it's the seventh of the sixth month.
Yesterday was D-Day.
Six, seven.
Right. I'm the only girl around here, too, because Crystal went home. I'm going to say because we have two producers. Let's go with number two.
Okay, and number two is somebody named Julian. Hi, Julian.
Well, howdy, guys. Now there's three producers here.
Oh, golly. I said you miss us.
So on the other side of the glass, we have our producer du jour and our producer designate. And now on the phone, this is our producer emeritus.
Emeritus, yes. I love it. Julian, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm a little sleepy, but I'm doing all right.
All right. Hang on for just a second. Let me tell the guys on the other side of the glass. Jane, can you ask Jane to hang in there? Because I see Jane wants to ask something about Tommy Emmanuel, who we were talking about earlier. And Julian did the video that we were talking about that had, like, so many hits.
The one that started it all.
That's right. The one that started it all. October of 20-something other, a long time ago.
It was, about... a year and a half ago,
it was,
something like that.
It was my reunion,
I think.
Yeah. Right after COVID. Isn't that weird how that becomes like the marker for everything in the world? Is like pre-COVID and post-COVID, and anyway.
But lots of people want to know, what is Julian up to? And you are doing a whole lot with your photography and video business. And I will turn on the blatant plug light if people would like to get in touch with you for photography or video stuff. Where do they go? What do they do?
You can go to my website, SaldjournaMediaProductions.com. It's a mouthful, I know. I'm sorry, but that's the name I was born with.
And that's SaldjournaMediaProductions, right?
And A.
Hey, do I always do the O on the end?
I don't know. That's the first time I've heard you say it.
Yeah, I usually...
For the people who are challenged with spelling, I'm sure you can go on your blog and just click on my name somewhere that's blue.
In fact...
But the X is silent, just like in fish, right?
Stop it. Stop it now.
Exactly.
So were you actually sleeping and you woke up and said, my friends are on the radio. I miss them.
Well, I was at an event with the lovely Miss Erica.
Oh.
And I looked at the time. I thought, it's 1:30. I can catch the end of the show.
Well, you would...
Hey, Erica.
You would have laughed, Julian, because we were supposed to get on at 10. We actually got on closer to midnight because they went into double overtime.
Oh, you were watching that?
No, we were carrying that Stanley Cup game.
Actually, we were practicing, and you will see the picture when this week's podcast goes up. You will see how Johnny and I got into our hockey gear.
Yep,
and
the
we
sticks.
Were in the ice skating rink that is in the other studio across the hall.
Yeah,
and you will see that.
It's all real too, Julian. Yeah. You know that, right?
Nothing artificial about it at all, Julian.
No, I'm sure.
It's one of his favorite subjects, you know, Steve.
Yeah,
right? I love AI.
I don't mean hockey. I mean a little bit of AI goes a long way with you, Julian. Right.
Such a long way.
All right, what's your plan for tomorrow, Sunday?
Tomorrow I got a birthday party for a cousin who's turning 18, which is crazy because I remember when he was 2.
Mm-hmm. You know what? As you get older, you're going to be shocked when people start graduating and getting married, and you're going to say, wait. Yep.
I got gray in my beard now.
No, stop. Well, we are going to let you go because you're not getting a T-shirt. You already have one or two or three, right?
I have four, actually. I have four T-shirts and like five jackets, including the one you gave me.
Oh, that's right. Just a quick behind-the-scenes story. My dad got in really good with our promotions director here at the station, so anytime there was something with WGN, she would always send one to my dad. So I said, you know what, Julian? You need these, right?
And you wear too many.
And you wear them well. So thank you. Nice talking to you, Julian. Take care. We'll talk to you real soon. Okay.
Always a joy, guys.
Take care. Bye bye.
And we are going to, just for a second, we're going to scoot to another caller.
This is Jane.
Because, Jane, I believe you had a question about Tommy Emmanuel.
Yes, if you could just repeat the sentence. I know you talked about the ship Shawana.
Yes.
But you said at some point to have access to his work. Do this. And my brain did not follow fast.
All you have to do is go to our YouTube channel.
Yes.
Oh.
So if you want to tell your grandson, go to Steve and Johnny, and Johnny's with an I-E.
I know the spelling.
Uh-huh. Okay. So J-O-H-N-N-I-E on YouTube. Uh-huh. And when he goes there, he can see the musical performances and the Tommy Emmanuel in our studio performance. It's a terrific video. It's right there for him to see.
Okay, and it doesn't need the dot WordPress. That's another deal.
No, that's our blog.
No, that's a totally different thing.
Yeah, yeah. But your grandson.
Show?
I'm sorry.
Okay, what? Repeat the link again. Steve and Johnny
show.
Let me. I'm going to bring it up quickly.
Because your grandson's going to know all about YouTube because I'm sure he watches all kinds of videos on YouTube. So we have a page where we put up the performances that happen here in our studio, and Julian is the one that has been doing a lot of those videos over the past few years. And so the cool thing is people hear them on the radio, but then they get to actually see these people performing.
Right.
So that's how the Tommy Emmanuel thing came about. And Steve's looking up the exact address for you.
Yeah, okay. I was wondering if it needed the word WGN. Go ahead, Steve. I'll be quiet. Listen, careful.
You go to youtube.com/ okay. So youtube.com/ Steve and Johnny Show.
And you spell out the A-N-D. So Steve, S-T-E-V-E, A-N-D, J-O-H-N-N-I-E, Show. And that's going to take him right there, and then he's going to see all kinds of musical performances, and he can even type in Tommy Emmanuel, and it will come up.
Okay, and again, the very beginning is YouTube.
YouTube.com. Okay. YouTube.com/STEVEANDJOHNNIESHOW.
Yes.
Thank you ever so much.
Thank you, Jane. Okay. I appreciate your being patient and hanging in there. And I did mention earlier what she heard me mention was that we had a new sponsor, Ship Shawana.
Right.
And I said, whoa, I was just telling you the other day that looking at Tommy Emmanuel's schedule, he is not coming to Chicago. I don't know why. I mean, he's going to Alaska. The closest he's going to be is Ship Shawana.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I figured, did I say it's like an hour and a half or 2 hours from here?
Something like
that.
Yeah.
Especially if we go in the middle of the night so we don't have to deal with the traffic. We could get there maybe in an hour and a half.
Okay. This has been a fast show.
I know.
Again, full show next week, 9 p.m.
Yes.
Central.
Yes.
Be there or be square.
Yes. Listeners concerned because we said we were not going to be here after next week. We won't be in this studio. We will be doing the show from the WKGC studios in Panama City, Florida.
See, that's one of the many reasons we post the podcast, so you can listen to the words that you have heard.
Or people are kind of, dozing off. I know, it's riveting conversation. It's hard to believe.
What'd you say, huh?
George wants to know what we're having for dinner when we get home. We've decided.
We think burgers.
Burgers.
Yeah.
Sounds really good
burgers
to me.
Burgers with a smidge of cheese and a pickle.
Yes, yes.
And that.
And the secret to a really good burger, I'm telling you folks right now, you got to butter the bun. You got to put it in the skillet.
Yeah.
Get all that grease out of the skillet. Put it in there. Get it good and crunchy.
Slap
that baby together. Oof.
Okay, we got to get home quick.
I know. It's really good eating.
So, thank you to Big Plug Bob, to Ron, to
Dimitri over in the newsroom.
Dimitri,
yes.
And to Neil and to
Jonathan
and
you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening.
And hopefully we'll talk to you next week.